Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 38 through 43. This is the word of the Lord. There was a chamber with its door in the vestibule of the gate, where the burnt offering was to be washed. And in the vestibule of the gate were two tables on either side, on which the burnt offering and the sin offering and the guilt offering were to be slaughtered. And off to the side, on the outside, as one goes up to the entrance of the north gate, were two tables. And off to the other side of the vestibule of the gate were two tables. Four tables were on either side of the gate, eight tables on which to slaughter. And there were four tables of hewn stone for the burnt offering, a cubit and a half long, and a cubit and a half broad, and one cubit high, on which the instruments were to be laid, with which the burnt offerings and the sacrifices were slaughtered. And hooks a handbreadth long were fastened all around within. And on the tables, the flesh of the offering was to be laid. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you would open our eyes, that we might see your Son, open our ears, that we might hear his voice, to open our hearts, that we might know his love. We ask in his name. Amen. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. The prophet Haggai spoke these words near the end of the Old Testament, long after the destruction of the temple. And in his words, we hear the promise of a new temple, a temple of surpassing glory. It is that temple which Ezekiel saw, the house that Ezekiel was shown was greater than the first. It was greater than the one that had been built by Solomon, the one that had been destroyed on account of idolatry. The temple which Ezekiel saw, the temple which Ezekiel was shown, it was greater than the first. Its mountain was higher. Its gates were stronger, its courts were larger, its glory was greater. Ezekiel sees a vision of the final dwelling place of God with his people, a place of glory, a place of rest, a place of peace. This temple that Ezekiel was shown, it was not merely the restoration of what had been lost, or the reconstruction of what had been destroyed. This temple that Ezekiel was shown, it was the promise of something even greater being given in its place. In Ezekiel's vision, the Lord does not promise only to return his people to the way that things once were. Instead, he promises to bring them to the way that things were always meant to be. Here we do not find the promise of a world that once was. Here we find the promise of a world that is yet to come. And so in Ezekiel's vision, we see not the possibility of glory, or the possibility of rest, or the possibility of peace. Rather, we find the assurance of glory, the assurance of rest, the assurance of peace. Ezekiel's vision is the assurance that God will bring us to a place of glory, that he will bring us to a place of rest, that he will bring us to a place of peace, a place without the fear of man, a place without the strife of tongues, place without the sorrow of loss, a place where the weak find shelter and the lonely find welcome, a place where wounds are healed and the broken heart is bound, a place where the lowly are made to stand, the proud are brought to their knees. It is a place without worry, for the Lord is in its midst. It is a place without dread, for he is its refuge. It is a place without want, for he supplies its every need. From his hand, endless pleasures are given. From his face, the fullness of joy is known. It is a world of love, for the one who is love dwells there. As Ezekiel is shown this house of greater glory, he is drawn into that glory. Ezekiel's vision of the temple, it is a procession that draws him further in and higher up. That procession begins outside the walls of the temple. And Ezekiel must first ascend to enter through its gates. Beyond that gate is the outer court. But once you have crossed the threshold of the gate, you have not yet entered the outer court. But the gate is like a hallway, itself the size of several houses. And this hallway is full of windows, and those windows narrow inwards. And so you cannot see the outer court through those windows, but you can see its light. So you are drawn into the light. And at last, having passed through the gateway, you enter into the light of the outer court. But on the other side of the outer court, you see yet another gate. And so once again, to go further in, you must go higher up. And beyond that gate is the inner court. And so you ascend the steps of that gate, and you cross its threshold, and you find yourself in a gateway like the one before. And as with the first gateway into the outer court, so this second gateway into the inner court is like a long hallway full of windows, and those windows narrow inwards. So you cannot see the inner court through those windows, but you can see its light. So again, you are drawn into the light. And at last, having passed through the inner gateway, you enter into the light of the inner court. And on the other side of the inner court, you see the sanctuary, the steps that lead you to its threshold. You know that once you have ascended those steps and crossed its threshold, you will have drawn near to the most holy place. And the light of that place is the glory of the Lord. Once you have been drawn into its light, you have entered into his presence. There you find that there is no end to your ascent in him. There is no end to your drawing further in and ascending higher up. For he is without end. His glory cannot be exhausted, and his love knows no bounds. In Ezekiel chapter 40, we find ourselves at the threshold of the inner court. Having been drawn into the light of the outer court, and now having been drawn into the light of the inner court, we are ready to be drawn into an even greater light. We are ready to be led into the sanctuary. We are ready to ascend its steps. We are ready to cross its threshold. Though we feel ourselves being drawn further in, though we feel ourselves being drawn higher up, the procession stops. And in verse 38, we are forced to take note that at the entrance into the inner court is a place for sacrifice. We find there a room where the burnt offering was to be washed. And we find there tables where the burnt offering and the sin offering and the guilt offering were to be slaughtered and laid. So we find that even in this temple of glory, sacrifice is required. And while it is difficult to determine the exact position of all the different tables that are there arranged, we are able to get a sense of what it was like. The gateway into the inner court, it was the place where sacrifice was slaughtered, where it was washed and prepared to be offered upon the altar. The inner gateway is lined with tables for sacrifice. And upon those tables, the offerings of sacrifice were laid. Now the sin offering, it was a sacrifice for sin. The guilt offering, it was a sacrifice for guilt. And these offerings, sin was forgiven, and guilt was removed. These were sacrifices to make one right with God, that you might be able to approach him. But what was the purpose of the burnt offering? Yes, it was an offering that was to be burnt. But why? The burnt offering is sometimes called the whole burnt offering. And that is because the whole of the sacrifice was offered upon the altar. As we read in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9, the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The burnt offering was an offering of consecration. And the burnt offering, the whole of the one bringing that sacrifice was consecrated to the Lord, that he himself might become a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the purpose of the sin offering and the guilt offering were to enable one to approach the Lord, the purpose of the burnt offering was to enable one to commune with the Lord. And so as it was in the tabernacle, as it was in the first temple, so it is here in the temple of glory. If one would enter into the presence of God, if one would dwell in his light, sacrifice must be made. For we do not come to him as those who are righteous. We do not come to him as those who are blameless. We come to him as those who are guilty of unrighteousness. We come to him as those who have been corrupted by sin. In this temple of glory, if you would enter into the presence of God, if you would process higher up and further in, your sins must be forgiven. Your guilt must be removed. The whole of you must be washed and cleansed. And only then may you enter all the way. Only then may you become a pleasing aroma to the Lord, offered upon his altar, ascending ever higher up and ever further in. As we are led with Ezekiel in the procession of this temple in glory, we come to a halt at the threshold of the inner court. And as we stand there, and the light of that place calls us higher up and further in, we see the blood upon the threshold. We see the flesh laid within. And we know, before we may enter, something must die for me. And something must die within me. The world has changed. And I must be changed. As we stand before the inner court, as we see the blood upon the threshold, we understand that our sin must be put to death. And with it, our anger, our lust, our pride, our impatience, delight in doing wrong. if we would enter. We must be changed. We must be cleansed. What might we call the inner gate? It would rightly be called the gate of sacrifice, for it was a place of sacrifice. There the sacrifices of the altar were slaughtered and prepared. But we might also call it the gate of flesh. For on either side of its threshold, the flesh of the offering was laid. On either side of its threshold, the flesh of sacrifice was prepared. And in calling it a gate of flesh, it may help us to understand the meaning of this vision, how it has been fulfilled. For this is not the only threshold of flesh that we find in Scripture. There is another. Indeed, we may say that the vision of Ezekiel was a shadow of it. We find it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The gateway of flesh that Ezekiel saw, it is Christ himself. His blood shed and his flesh offered as a sacrifice to God, that our sins may be forgiven, that our guilt may be removed, that the whole of our being may be cleansed, that we at last may be changed. As we pass through this gate, as we pass through the gate of his flesh, his blood becomes ours. His body becomes ours. His fragrance becomes ours. And at last, we may enter in and be drawn up as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Today, the resurrected Christ stands in your midst. Today he speaks to you peace. Today he shows you his hands and his feet. And today he calls you to enter into the holy places by his blood and through his flesh. Let us then hear his voice and enter with confidence and worship the Lamb that was slain. Amen.